got it recorded now, bro.
Okay. Well, hey, Joseph.
Hey, Jacob.
Welcome to the podcast. All right, welcome to... this is the Academy of Creators podcast. I am Jacob.
Oh, I'm Joseph.
And together we are Jacob and Joseph. But we...
Well, we gotta get some theme music.
We do. Yes, I'll put something on this, but it won't be, I don't know.
It won't be Sports Center?
No, it won't be Sports Center. It's not one of the options. Yeah. So welcome to the podcast. We are brought to you by Filmmaker Merch.
Merch
by Carpe and Zen. That's us.
We sponsored ourselves.
You know, a lot of people do that. They're like, hey, it's brought to you by my book. It's like, oh, cool, right? Anyway, we do have a print on demand merch.
We do,
which is cool. We like filmmaking, so we called it Filmmaker, and it's got some cool logos. So check it out. You can check it out at our website, carpeandzen.com/shop.
Yeah, you just put shop on the back of anything, and you can buy stuff from it. Maybe not anything. I don't know. Try that. Just try like every website and put shop on the back end. But if you don't want to put /shop, you can just go to the shop icon somewhere at the top.
Yeah, it's going to be in the upper right hand corner. Carpeandzen.com, spelled CarpeandZen.com.
Go out and seize your zen.
Yeah, that's kind of what the name means.
It's a catch 22.
He's Carpe and Ter, and I am Larid Zen, hence the name. Hey, Joseph, what do you want to talk about today? Oh,
you know, I've been thinking about this.
Ever since this afternoon when I said, so, it's Monday.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about?
Today, I thought we'd talk a little bit about lighting.
Okay.
Because lighting's fun, right?
Oh, man.
Alexa, turn the lights green. You're welcome.
Now the lights are green.
That's all I have to say.
If you're watching this on YouTube, the lights are now sort of green behind us.
There's like one light on camera that you can see.
Yeah.
Alexa, turn the lights back to red.
There it is.
I think Amazon should sponsor us.
I'd go for that.
We name drop them so many times.
This is brought to you by... all the things that I spend money on Amazon.
Yeah. No, I thought we'd talk about lighting. Now, first of all, we're not like professional gaffers or even really professional filmmakers.
We are.
But we have dabbled.
We've decided we call ourselves part-time filmmakers.
Part-time, yeah.
I mean, we've done enough production. It counts for something.
Right. Well, I mean, technically, it is my full-time job. Like content creation, digital media creation.
And right now that I'm doing distance learning and I make a lot of videos each day, there's that.
Mm-hmm.
There's that. Yeah, like I shot a video and posted it today. Yeah.
And that's all just happened by accident. Thank you, COVID. I don't support COVID.
I don't feel comfortable saying that.
I know how dangerous it is to talk about COVID-19.
Anything?
Yeah.
Oh man, I have so much trouble like being on the internet and saying anything except for check out this latest thing that we made, because it's the least controversial thing that I can do. Right, check out our podcast.
I know,
because that's not going to get anyone riled up. Like, I'm sorry, did you make a podcast?
No, I saw this and this is probably old news
political.
To a lot of people, but I saw how Twitter had lashed out at Vogue for hiring Annie Leibovitz, right?
Okay.
To photograph Simone Biles for the cover. And I was like,
what's Twitter? What's the problem?
So the problem was that Annie Leibovitz is, if you don't know who she is, she's a world famous photographer. She's
portrait.
She's a portrait photographer, probably the best in her generation.
She has like a distinct visual style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the issue was that she was hired to shoot Simone Biles, who is a black Olympian. She's actually
gymnast.
Yeah. She's getting ready to compete in the 2021 games, which I didn't think she would. That think that's four Olympics.
Did she just time. She just won another championship, national championship, right? Or Worlds? I don't know.
And she had a clean sweep at the last Olympics, which made her the greatest living gymnast of all time. And now she's going back, right, to do it again, obviously. Okay. So the issue was that they didn't hire a black photographer.
Oh, yeah, she's a white lady with white hair.
Oh, yeah, no, she's Jewish.
Oh, well, okay, with a name like Leibowitz, sure.
Which I was a little bit shocked by, and a lot of people were complaining about her lighting. She has a very distinct lighting style.
Oh, she's been around forever. Like, yeah. There's no surprises by her style.
Yeah, well, and the issue that they took was that that her lighting wasn't flattering to a black female. So I was like, what? What is happening?
Well, I mean, that's something that we thought a lot about when we were shooting Ace.
Yes.
We talked a lot about
lighting black people.
Because we had three black cast members, and we talked a lot with them about how to light them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a big topic of conversation.
It was. It's hard to do, but it was a lot of fun to learn and shoot around that, and so that was something that we got to experiment a lot with on our latest, on our film on Ace. And there was some stuff that I think turned out really, really well.
Mm.
Some stuff that didn't.
That's not just because we had beautiful people.
Yeah.
That helps, right?
That helps.
That helps.
That helps.
Yeah.
No, the actors we
four.
Worked with, yeah.
We had four.
Yeah, the actors we worked with were fantastic.
Yeah, they're great.
And so easy to work with, and we're willing to help out in places where we needed help.
Oh, yeah. No, like when we shot this scene at night in the middle of these woods with...
In the Arizona desert and some cat claws.
Yeah, yeah. We're out there with Vic and Sal. And you and like,
and the lighting,
the action was happening. Well, there was no lighting, right?
Yeah.
We had a couple of LED stands and we have no clue how we're going to shoot this stuff. We just decided, I don't know, put a camera here.
Let's just run around.
But you know, Vic was very consistent. He's like, I don't mind helping out. So, you know, just grabbing lights and moving them around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, and that was one of the scenes that actually turned out, I think, the best lighting for them.
It turned out pretty good, pretty well. The English teacher said pretty well.
Pretty well. Yeah. Pretty darn good.
Yeah, sure.
But no, and it was interesting.
It graded really well.
Yeah, we used, now we shot at dusk, right? We wanted to.
We started at dusk, then it got pitch black,
So we started at dusk, and we wanted to get as much of their stuff done as we could before we kind of turned around and did some of the shooting. But it was amazing. I think we ended up really only using one or two light sources.
Yeah, most there was just one light.
Yeah.
And the batteries weren't charged right, so we kept swapping things through. We were trying to diffuse the light to soften it, so we're using a plastic bag.
Because that's what we found.
Which diffused the light really well.
Well, and that's, yeah.
But it had some thermodynamic issues. Right? Is that the right term for it?
The thermal efficiency when you put a plastic bag over the breather of the camera is not great.
It's like strangling someone with a plastic bag. Yeah, it's just, same, you can't, the light can't breathe.
Yeah, same result.
It got hot.
It got very hot.
It got hot.
But it worked really, really well. It was able to wrap the light around. Now, as we tinker and learn,
it's almost like a lantern.
Yeah, light. Yeah. As we tinker and learn more about lighting, because my lighting training, I got a lot of it in theater, right? And theater, if you're familiar, all the lighting, everything that you make soft, you do with makeup, right? Spotlights are in theaters. They blast as much light down on the subject as possible. Mm-hmm. And the rest is up to the makeup artist to make them, you know, have facial features and you know, creases and be able to see different features in their eyes and their eyelashes. Because everything just blow it out.
When you see a stage actor off stage with their makeup, it's like a Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Because it's just so stark and unrealistic.
Yeah.
But that's what you have to do to compensate for the bright lights.
Mm-hmm. And anything that you watch from the 1930s is very much the same way. They just kind of set up a camera.
And that's what they had to do for the film stock. Mm-hmm. It had to be really bright.
But then you had a few directors who started cutting away and getting close-ups. And it's, especially now with everything being converted to 4K, you can see how much just makeup they have on, you know, to define the features in their face, because they're very much used to theater where their face is going to be washed out and you need to draw the lines to make sure that people can see the faces. So, and even up until the 1990s, I've been noticing this. I've been watching some older television, you know, because of the pandemic and just not much else to watch. But the lighting
were you
features.
Watching X-Files?
I was watching X-Files. I was watching like early like season 3 X-Files.
3?
Yeah.
Season 3. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But even then, even in television, especially like game shows and stuff from the 90s and even the early 2000s, the lighting is still very harsh. You know, it's still, you see lots of glare, you know, and there's always some.
Soft lighting is a relatively new concept.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got two big soft boxes on us right now. That's not.
Yeah.
That's a newer style.
It is a newer style. And it's something that it's really fun to learn and poke around. The softer the light is, the more it kind of wraps around, and then the more you can kind of fill things in. And that's why you see so many lights on different productions today. But I wish we had softer boxes. I wish we could go softer with these.
You just want to look pretty.
I do. It makes me look so good, right? Like, better than I actually am, ladies.
Yeah, that's the whole... We had one download last week. It was probably
it
you.
Was me.
It was probably you. See, this is what I was thinking today when you were getting ready to record this. I was thinking, I was like, okay, well, when someone actually finds our episodes and they're like, oh, well, that's kind of good. I'll listen to something else. There will be a back catalog of episodes for them to listen to. That's
I imagine,
my hope and prayer.
I'm hoping that our voices are silky enough that people will just put it on and fall asleep.
That's what I tell.
That's what I use.
I joke around,
for.
You know, at night, you know, my wife's having trouble sleeping. It's like, just put on one of my YouTube videos. I'll put you right to sleep.
Go right out. Well, that's what I use podcasts for. I
do it the opposite.
Yeah.
Podcasts keep me awake.
If I need to go to sleep, I listen to a podcast.
You might listen to ours.
Yeah. No.
All right then. I will not be that offended.
But anyway, so
we would love all sorts of sponsorships.
Yeah. We won't say no.
Well, maybe something.
Try it.
Actually, for my YouTube channel,
challenge
there was
accepted.
There was this company who was reaching out to me, and they my YouTube channel's it teaches English, right? And their service was basically they write papers for people.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm a teacher. Like, I'm going to promote bypassing, I don't know, the learning process? No.
I think it sounds brilliant.
They thought it was a great, let's do a collaboration.
Let's collaborate.
You want to collaborate with our channel? No.
No.
No, I don't.
Jerk.
I don't think that really fits my brand. Yeah.
So, anyway. Lighting. It's fun.
Oh, so I had, when we first started making movies in the 90s, we started in the late 90s with some video cameras. Lighting for us was like, I don't know, we had like a shop light.
Yeah.
And, like, there was nothing fancy about it. We didn't think hardly anything about it.
No.
We thought even less about sound.
Mm-hmm. And the sound turned it out pretty good. I said turned it.
Turned it?
Yeah.
Got turned it.
Turned it.
We spent almost no time on it. So when we come back to it, you know, years later, and we're trying to be serious about it, there is so much to learn.
There is. It's ridiculous.
And, yeah, so, like, I had this, I don't know, this idea... I don't know where this comes from, that there's a correct way to light.
Okay.
Well, if you start doing research, you're going to see, well, there's the three-point lighting. Three-point lighting. Oh, well, you need a key, right? Uh-huh. That's your main light. And then, well, that's going to create a shadow. So on the opposite side, you need to fill that in. And then you need something behind you, you know, something to create depth in the shot. That's, mm-hmm. You know, your hair light, your kicker, your whatever, right?
Red light.
So let's look at what our setup is right here, right? You know, this is great for podcasts.
Right.
You have a light on you.
To my left.
You've got a light on me.
Approximately 90 degrees.
And they're sort of also acting as fill.
Yeah.
You know, so your key is my fill and my key is your fill.
We're so efficient.
Right? We've got two lamps back here, which were deliberately placed for shooting video. That's why I put the colored lenses in them. Lenses? Oh, not lights. Lenses, light bulbs. There we go. It creates just a little bit of depth in the shot. Back here, we got the hair light, the kicker, the whatever. Yeah. That's putting a little bit slightly different tint on the background, mm-hmm. different color temperature, which is also a no-no, but also whatever.
Adds depth.
So this is what I've learned. There are no rules. there is what people say. Right. Sure. But the reason is you just want to make the picture interesting, and depth creates interest.
Yeah. I think the real rule when it comes to lighting.
Wait for it.
Is
what's the real rule?
Is to use the light to tell your story.
I don't even know what that means, Joseph.
That's the real rule.
That sounds like just some Hallmark card stuff there.
It does. Maybe we should write it down and sell it.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Put it on a t-shirt. but there's so many different ways to light things. Now, obviously, if you can't see anything, nobody's gonna find your shot interesting.
It's like the old Looney Tunes cartoons. When they're in the dark, you can see the eyeballs.
Right.
And nothing else.
But and for the most part, you're gonna want, you know, to key your subject and give them depth. I think those are the two things you really need to worry about a ton, right? Make sure you have depth in your shot, and make sure you have a key. That way people can recognize what's going on with them.
It helps you stand out from the background.
Right.
Right.
Now, when I say depth, if for those of you that are unfamiliar with depth, I mean, like right now, if you're watching the podcast, you can see the behind us is a little bit blurred, right? And that's because we're shooting on a 135 at like 1.5 right now. So what that does is that narrows your depth of field.
Joseph's only about 3 feet from the background, but it's out of focus.
Yeah. So that narrows your depth of field. It makes it, you know, so that you can, I don't even know how to do this without, like, I don't know how to explain it. I'm showing it with my hands.
Use your words, Joseph.
Use your words. but what it does is it narrows that depth of field. It narrows what the camera is actually able to see, right? Within a specific range. That's why Jacob and I are sitting so close and trying to sit on the same plane. So
we're the same distance from the camera.
Yeah, so we can both be the same distance from the camera. For instance, if I were to sit back a little further, I get a little blurry, right? Yeah. So that's what we're talking about when it comes to depth of field. Now, adding depth to your shot, it gives the people something to look at, right? You look at your character. They're set apart from what else is happening. Otherwise, it's just this big flat.
Yeah, you can mosaic. See them. You can see them within their setting, right? But I don't know. This is what we think of as being cinematic. Cinematic. You know, it's not flat, mm-hmm. high key lighting for the most part. That's like a comedy, TV show where everyone is just They're being blasted with light.
Everybody can be seen.
And there's no shadows. There's no depth or anything. Yeah. It's just like, boom, you lit a whole stage, and then you got the Big Bang Theory cast doing their thing. But, you know, for a movie, mm-hmm.
Depending
you
on
create
the
depth by distance, like we're talking about. You might use practical lights in the background that help create a little bit of pop. They light the background. They show the depth between you and the subject.
Yeah.
That's why when you're looking at YouTube videos, you know, there's a very specific style, right? You get a big softbox, you mm-hmm. put it right next to your face, right out of frame, uh-huh. you turn the lights off behind you, and maybe you have a couple things back there, and you try to make that as far away as possible.
And this is very, like, This is very popular right now on YouTube.
Right now, yeah.
But like 4 years ago, it wasn't. There was only a couple guys really doing it. Everybody has kind of migrated to that.
Peter McKinnon, yeah. Matty Apoya, blame these guys, right?
Well, Matty, he's still very bright, you know. But like Potato Jet, for example, he's been moody for a while, right?
I like his setup. I mean, it's he intentionally shows that it's a backdrop,
right?
Yeah,
and if you watch, you know, every other video, he likes to go in and show his entire setup, which he's a good teacher. That's kind of his thing.
He's fun to watch. I'd watch him do anything. I'll be honest. So he just started a vlogging channel.
Yeah, I saw the vlog.
I watched that even more than Potato Jet because I just, oh, you're trying to vlog every day of 2020 and you're literally going to, you know, you get like 5 seconds of this day just so you can count it. I'm still watching.
Most interesting year ever to vlog. Probably.
I love my boy Gene Nagato.
I forgot where we were going, but yeah, so it's very popular on YouTube right now, and it's kind of a look that we're sort of going for here.
We definitely use that for our movie.
Yeah,
one of my big concerns going into it was we had planned originally to have some really big crowd scenes indoors.
Yeah,
I was like, oh man, we need to have some big lights that we can shoot from far away. We ended up changing that scene, but as we were shopping lights, we got the best we could get for the buck. So we got the Godox SL60W. I'm reading it off of the light with softbox. We got a package. They're probably about $130 lights.
Yeah.
Softboxes are probably, I don't know. We got like $30 ones. We don't have the big parabola ones or whatever. Mm-hmm. Parabolic
lights.
So I'm thinking about Tool.
Yeah.
yeah. You know where I went with that.
The band.
Oh, man.
Mind out of the
cover. I'm sorry. I'm going to derail for a bit. I think it was last school. Was it about a year ago? Tool came out with a new album.
Right
on top of a Taylor Swift album coming out. And Taylor Swift fans were just beside themselves because they're like, who is Tool and why are they on top of the charts over Taylor freaking Swift? Well, it's because Tool had taken a few years to come up with their album. And
sorry, tweeners.
Educate yourselves. Tool. Tool is amazing. We love Tool.
Great band.
Anyway, Tool. So we probably spent a couple $100 on our lights. We have a 3-set of the newer 660 lights. Mm-hmm.
Very
bicolor.
Popular. Yeah,
bicolor.
Very popular light.
And so I don't know, what are we, maybe $600 in lighting that we shot a feature with?
Yeah. No, which is not like, it's not chump change, but at the same time, if you're buying lights for anything, that's about as cheap as you can get. I mean, you could definitely get cheaper, but if you're getting a semi-pro setup of any kind, that's about as good as you're going
to
get.
Like if you step up to the aperture 120Ds or whatever, right? Which is basically what these are the a slightly lower powered version of the 120Ds.
But those are a $500 light.
Maybe more. I want to say they're a little bit more, right? Seven, maybe? Seven or eight?
I think they've come down in price because they've come out with a newer one.
I'm going to double check.
They're not cheap. I mean, and I know
I can never spell aperture because they spell it wrong.
Yeah, with a U or something.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, it's out of our price range. Maybe someday. Maybe someday. The nice thing about having lights, though, is you can always just keep adding to lights, you know?
Yes, the same with, like, your lens kit or your different accessories, your matte boxes and whatever.
Yeah.
The only thing, ultimately, that you're going to end up changing is camera bodies, right?
The really expensive stuff.
Aperture Lightstorm LS C120D Mark II.
Hit me with the numbers.
745.
Holy smokes. Does it come with its own C-stand? I know the answer is no, but I can dream.
I'm looking.
that's
what
we
comes
need.
In the box.
That's what I we need next is some C-stands.
That's the V-mount versus the gold mount. I don't know. We don't have either of those.
Yeah, no.
No, but it suggests, $55 light stand.
Nice.
So I don't know.
So, anyway, that's lighting.
So now, that's a, I mean, my big complaint with these is they're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
We love them. You have a lot of control. We dial everything manually, though they're technically remotes. Mm-hmm. And you can do both at the same time, I think. But
They're loud.
The fan is a little bit loud, yeah. And it frustrates me.
I mean, they're not shot killing loud, but when you get into an edit and you've got a really emotional moment between two characters, and you've got this weird drone in the back.
Yeah, I was talking last episode.
You could probably hear it now.
I don't know. We might be slightly far enough away. Like last episode, I was talking about the scene I was editing, mm-hmm. and how like I'm cutting back between two different angles. One has the fan, one doesn't, and it's just, I don't know.
So in shooting Ace, we're talking about lighting. We went for the kind of the softer wraparound, very moody kind of lighting because it fit the film, right? I know I'm jumping back to like 20 conversations ago when we were talking about high key lighting for comedies and such.
Yeah.
But so that's another thing to kind of keep in your tool bag, I think, is light for the situation, light to help tell your story. I think lighting and telling the story is going to be the most important thing, right? If your story dictates that you can't see your character, but they're being lit from the back, use that. Right. Now, you're not going to be able to make a whole movie that way, I don't think, because nobody will watch it. I don't know. Maybe we should try.
I don't know. My first thought is like the opening to the Fantasia. You remember like the 1940 Fantasia?
Okay. So Mickey walks out.
No. No, it's, I don't know, the famous conductor at the time. I don't remember his name. But like it's basically silhouetted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So something like that.
And of course, that's the option I pull out. What? Remember Fantasia?
No.
Know
your audience, Jacob, which right now is basically just me.
I'll explain it to you later.
But no, it's so, find the, use lighting as a tool to tell the story.
So there's
that's
three
what's
parts.
Been fun.
Yeah. There's the three key areas to what you're doing when you're doing film production, right? There's the there's what the camera and the lensature.
Coin.
There's the lighting, uh-huh. and then there's the sound, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's what the actors are doing in front. There's movement, whatever, right?
Actors aren't important.
Okay.
None of them listen to our podcast.
I mean, we're also actors, so like, what's that even supposed to mean? What's that even supposed to mean?
What do you mean?
But it's, you cannot be trying to make a beautiful image and not also think about the lighting.
Yeah.
Because if you're just trying to compose a shot, part of composing the shot is lighting the shot.
Yeah.
So you can't skip it. You can't leave it.
Yeah.
It's like leg day. You can't skip leg day.
I wanted to like throw out a percentage of what lighting is to composition.
It's 95%. Let's just throw it out there. Put that on a t-shirt.
Put that on a t-shirt and sell it.
Lighting is 95% of composition.
Only 5% is framing.
And blocking.
And subject.
Sure.
And.
Sure. You get a beautiful person, you give them a beautiful script, and you put a big, beautiful light, and then you're good.
And then right? one behind them to create depth.
There you go. Depth. Hey, Joseph, there's a lot of things going on in the world right now in terms of filmmaking.
I know.
Some Have you heard stuff. About the Paramount decrees?
Okay, fine. Let's do that.
Okay. So I was listening to No Film School podcast
okay.
on the way home today. So it's over, right? The Paramount decrees are over. It's basically, there was a Supreme Court case like 1940 because the studios owned the entire distribution chain
mm-hmm.
from the building where they shot the movie to, you know, the company that shot the movie to where the movies were
distributed.
Which was the theaters, right? They owned everything. And the small guys were like, well, fair. Well, what if I want to make my movie? Paramount's like, no!
Government monopoly.
So they got shut down, and they were forced to break up, right? Enter today, where you have companies like Disney, that they make everything, they own everything, and they distribute everything on their own streaming platform. Same is also basically true with Netflix. And they've just kind of come around. They're like, yeah, I guess we'll let you just do whatever you want. And so they threw it out. So that, in the context of a time where movie theaters have been shut down for months.
Yeah.
They're really exposed to like a takeover from like a Netflix or an Apple or a Disney, because they can start buying theaters.
Thoughts? So should we start buying theaters? You're saying?
Yes, that's where I was going with this.
Or do we need our own streaming service?
I don't know. It kind of breaks my heart because it's like, because when I heard it explained that way, it's like, oh, we're the little guy. Wouldn't it be great if we could get our movie somewhere? Like, oh, let's see.
A theater?
So we can't get it on Disney Plus because, well, Disney's not just buying stuff up. They're just making it themselves. So we won't get on Disney Plus. Hulu. No, Disney has complete ownership of Hulu, so that's not going to happen. Netflix?
It's like 95%.
No, it's 100%. They bought everything out. The remaining little bit, they've paid for it, but there's like a clock on when NBC's actually kicked out. But
I'm bored.
It's... What do you think the future for independent filmmaking is if the big companies own the theaters?
I don't know. Now I'm suddenly not as excited about this as I once was.
I ruined your day.
You ruined my day. No, I mean, it's okay, because there's still YouTube.
Oh, right? How much money do you make showing your movies on YouTube?
That's not the point.
I mean, there's Vimeo, right?
Yeah.
You can have people do VOD video on demand on mm-hmm. Vimeo. You can do it on Amazon Prime.
Right.
Okay. But the problem is, yes, there are a couple of outlets, and they're quality outlets. How do you get people to watch it? How do you let people know it's even there?
The internet.
Use the internet knows. But what do you do? I mean, do you buy Facebook ads, Instagram ads? Do you stand outside theaters and hold up posters like, hey, I make movies too?
Yeah. That's an interesting question.
So, well, right now, you'd probably be told, wear a mask. Get out of here.
See, once upon a time.
6 feet.
Once upon a time, you take it back to the 80s, right?
We're taking it back to the 80s.
The
radical.
The straight to DVD or the straight to DVD. The straight not to yet. VHS.
Yeah, VHS.
Right?
The beta?
That was a big market. That mm-hmm. was a huge market, and it was primarily sold on interesting covers on boxes, right? People would just go in and rent a movie based on, like, some interesting picture that was on.
Tell me what Blockbuster is. Tell me about Blockbuster. Grandpa?
We're not going to talk about Blockbuster. Gather around, kids. I'll tell you the story of Blockbuster.
I remember Blockbuster like it was yesterday.
Me and my wife, we went to Blockbuster. Back when we were just kids, we were dating at the time.
That's when kids actually dated. You folks these days, you just hang out.
You just hang out.
What is this?
You don't court each other.
What is with this courting?
We are not that old, but we are.
We went steady.
But that,
I remember when I pinned my girl. Okay, go ahead. That's but not, anyway.
That has... Essentially, I don't want to say it's gone away, but it has shifted, right? Things like that have shifted to like the Hallmark Channel and lower budget stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, again, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, sorry, the 90s.
Oh, man, it hurts to do the math.
You could stand out just by having, like, good quality content, right? There weren't a lot of people making... There was a lot of...
It was expensive to make them.
It was, right? Film was expensive. Crews were expensive. People that knew what they were doing was expensive. So there were a lot of indie people out there, and it was mostly garbage, right? Like...
That's when we should have done this.
Maybe they had a good story, and sometimes that would stand out. And a lot of times it did. But at the same time, not many people would watch it because it was just, wow, that's not what I see on ABC, you know?
okay, so let's, like, what are the standouts from this era? You get your, like, Clerks.
Mm-hmm.
You get El Mariachi. You get that whole...
Everything Kevin Smith made.
Kevin Smith. All the things that, I mean, yes, you know, they shot film. Those mm-hmm. those weren't video. But they did it incredibly low budget.
Yeah.
They did not look... I mean, El Mariachi, it looked higher production value than it really was.
Right.
But it was, bare-bones stuff.
See, Robert Rodriguez, like, he talks about himself like he's one of the people. He's not. He's really incredibly talented. Like, he's like the John Carpenter of his generation. He can just do everything.
He does everything.
And he does do everything.
I was listening to him. He did a panel.
Uh-huh.
He did a panel at Comic-Con at home, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about this new movie for Netflix that he made called We Could Be Heroes, something like that.
Okay.
I don't know when it's coming out. But he was talking about how his son wrote the music. And he was frustrated because he used to write the music. And he's like, he's just so good. But that's who Robert Rodriguez is. I'm going to write the script. I'm going to direct it. I'm going to edit it.
I'm going to write the music.
I'm going to write the music. Why? Because that's what he does.
Because that's what he does.
That's what he does.
But that's like, and you know, going back, that's what John Carpenter did. You know, some of the most iconic Halloween music. John Carpenter sat down and plucked that out while he was writing the script, and then decided to direct the film. Jerk. So, like he talks like,
why are you so talented?
He talks like he's one of the people. He's not, okay? He's ridiculously talented.
He's better than the people.
He's better than the people. Right? And the thing is, a lot of filmmakers like us, and like everybody that wants to be a filmmaker.
You just call me a filmmaker?
They look at him, right? And they're like, oh, no, I could do that, you know? Our first short film is just going to take off, and that's going to be our calling card to the industry, and, you know... Which, and that just never happens. Like, you have to be in Tarantino. You have to be a Rodriguez. You have to be a Fincher. You have to be a Nolan. And those guys are very few and far between.
Do you have to be a Larson?
I don't know. We'll find out.
I don't know.
On the next film festival circuit.
So I've been thinking about that, like our approach. Because we talked a lot about distribution.
Yeah.
We've been intensely studying this, trying to figure out what's right for our projects. So we have a friend who's got a movie coming out. It's going to be airing on YouTube on the 4th, right? Sean Berube.
Which one?
It's the horror film.
Oh, okay. Because their showing got canceled.
Yeah, they were going to have like a little premiere in Tucson, right?
Right.
Which they can't do, so they're just going to put it on YouTube.
Tucsonian cast, Tucsonian crew. Looks like an interesting film. So,
I mean, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Right? Are they just like, well, I guess we're not getting our money back. Let's just do this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are they putting it up for rent or is it just...
No, it's free.
Okay.
It's free. Which is, I mean, I want to watch it. And that's great for me. I love it. I don't want to spend money. But mm-hmm. also, I'm worried about them. I'm like, what? How? You put all this effort into it. What's going on? Yeah. And maybe I don't know the whole story.
Yeah.
But I'm like, man, so our current plan for Ace, at least, is we want to try and hit some film festivals for a couple of reasons. One, maybe get a little bit of exposure, a little bit of heat.
Yeah.
And maybe some recognition for the cast. Because mm-hmm. I figure, like, we didn't really lose much money on it.
No.
Let's make this a vehicle for them.
But we did have some great performances.
We had some amazing performances. Yeah. Even Joseph did well.
Yeah, but I'm not going to get nominated for anything.
I don't know. I'm just saying. Anyway,
we'll talk about it when we get into a festival,
right? But that's my question. It's like, well, should we just put it out there for people to see, or do we want to wait around for a festival? I don't know.
See, I don't, and the rules are changing on this every day. A lot of festivals they want your, you know, they want exclusive rights to your film.
They want to be the first place that it's been seen. Right. In that country, in that region, and that whatever.
But I think because of everything that's going on, a lot of that is going to be pretty lax. And I know that Sundance actually makes exceptions on stuff like that. I've heard programmers talk about this before.
I'm sorry, did you say your name was Soderbergh?
Absolutely.
I did. My name is Steve Ben Soderbergh.
I shot on an iPhone. I hope that's not a problem.
I'm sorry. Steven Soderbergh shoots on an iPhone? That's my third film on iPhone. I want to distribute it myself. That's what he does, right?
Because he can. When you have as much success, okay, when you're Wes Anderson, when you're Steven Soderbergh,
Wes Anderson,
you can do that kind of stuff.
Oh, man.
So, I don't know. That is a tough one. Definitely.
What's the most important thing? Try to get some heat around it or get it out so people can see it?
See, and that's...
Because I have no, you know, delusions of grandeur. We're going to make money off of it.
Yeah, and that, but that's but the
please,
question.
But please, when the movie comes out, all the money. Make sure the movie gets all the money.
Well, but see, what's more important? People seeing the film or being lauded on the film? And honestly, we can do that. We can do both.
I mean, we can put it everywhere that we have control over.
Yeah.
You know, a Vimeo, what?
Amazon.
Host it on our website, Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
We can do screenings.
Yeah.
You know.
Which I think we could, and we have a few ideas for some screenings when theaters open back up. If not, you know, we'll do something smaller, at least for the cast and the crew. Well, the crew is like me and one other guy and Jacob, but... The rest of the crew were people that didn't have their hands full at the time, so I shoved something in their hands.
Here, hold this mic. Tell me what my line is.
Thank you, Hannah. Thank you so much.
And CC, man.
And CC, oh yeah, and CC. So, I mean, yeah, if anything, we need to do something like that.
We want to have at least a red carpet in Tucson, but, well, I mean, red carpet, a premiere, a screening. But we'd like to have several. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, like, should we just, like, what makes more sense? Is it good timing to be the movie that's ready to go the second theaters open?
See, there's going to be a lot of movies ready to go the second theaters open.
I think you're right. You know, because, I mean, but even, like, Disney is like, I can't just sit on this forever. Mulan, okay, you can watch it, but it's going to be $30.
Yeah. So, okay, well, here's the story with Mulan. $200 million budget, right? That's a lot of marbles, kids, for a movie.
What's a marble?
Okay. that's a lot of video games, kids. Video games make way more money than movies.
Video games make a lot of money.
that's a lot of money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now Disney's had to sit on it forever, right? Now, here's the thing about being the first to ready to go when theaters open back up. Not all the theaters are going to open up at the same time. Different states have different rules on how and when they're going to open, right? Which is a real big problem for distribution, right? Because you have this big shambang, you make your $200 million in that first weekend, right? And you're like, okay, great, we paid for the movie.
Well, that doesn't count the like $100 million you spent on advertising.
Exactly, especially for a film like Mulan. So, like, what do you do, right? Now, this is where, and I've talked about this before on previous episodes, I really think indie films are going to have, they're going to be able to step up and kind of fill these holes. They're going to fill these gaps. There's so many creators out there stuck at home making gorgeous content. Gorgeous content. And because they're professionals, mm-hmm. they have friends all over the world that can work on the film remotely. Right,
their post.
They send it off to a colorist. They send it off to a sound guy. You know, he's sitting in his pajamas, which is probably what he does anyway. But now he's scared to go outside because of the virus. I don't know why I'm picking on sound guys. Like,
I don't know what you're doing.
It's just the first one that popped.
That's
up.
That's my editing bay is right off camera right there.
But I mean, it's a tough one. And us, like, honestly, we'll take what we can get. I think. If we can get in anywhere.
Well, I can tell you all the things that we have control over, and this is the pitch I gave to everyone, right?
Right.
Printing DVDs on demand, you could set that up through Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Easy.
And that is a pretty good market.
And that's separate. And that's separate. That's the Amazon website separate from Amazon Prime.
And that's a pretty good market. There was a film, a documentary of a kid from our hometown.
Oh, right.
Just recently. And, you know, the family was is fairly prominent, and they had a pretty big following. And they had the premiere of his film here. And I don't even remember. I think it was $15 a ticket. This place was packed.
And it's, I mean, well over 100.
Yeah.
Maybe 200-300 seats in that theater.
Yeah, I think it was about 300 seats.
Pre-COVID.
It was pretty packed. And I bought two copies of the DVD.
I still haven't watched it that you gave it
and,
to me.
And I watched people walk out with just stacks of these DVDs, and they were selling these DVDs for $10 a pop.
So what was the number you estimate that they made off of the one screening?
Oh, man, I don't remember. I had it in my mind, but it was a lot.
I mean, they made back the movie.
Yeah.
Probably in that night.
Just in that showing, right? Mm. And I don't remember what the number was, but it was a fair chunk of change. I mean, you know, they're not making millions or anything, but it was several thousand dollars.
No, yeah.
So, and, you know, I know that the movie traveled a little bit and it was shown in a few different other places.
And that's something that we might be able to do.
Yeah.
Just tour a little bit, you mm-hmm. know, bring some cast and crew.
Which,
you know,
I think,
make an event out of it.
Yeah. We just got to learn how to run the hype machine. Yeah.
I don't know how to do that.
It's a difficult machine. I don't understand. I'm pretty good with machines. I don't know how the hype machine works.
I don't understand the all the things. The tic tac.
The tic tac.
I heard that the other day. I'm on the tic tac. It's not tic tac.
I was looking at that. We should probably start a TikTok channel.
Oh man.
Just for fun.
Yeah, until it dies.
Until it dies, yeah.
Until Microsoft saves it. And then it's like, TikTok's... wait, I'm sorry. Who's running this now? Microsoft.
TikTok's hot right now.
I just want to do my 6 seconds spreadsheet demo.
TikTok's hot right now.
Super hot.
But, you know, so like, what do you do? I don't know. Honestly, we'll take whatever we can get. And the thing is, for us... We have people that know how to run the hype machine.
We do.
Our actors are way better hypists than us.
So I watch what they do, right? I watch.
They're just relentless.
I'm studying. I am.
Ocho?
Ocho's awesome.
Ocho is relentless, man.
Ocho has someone in Mexico who makes his merch, and then he goes and he picks it up, and then he sells it in the States. He was telling us we were doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, guys, no, I got a guy in Mexico.
I got a guy
in Mexico.
I got a guy just over the border. I don't know why I turned him Italian all of a sudden. He's definitely Mexican.
Definitely. Oh, man. We were talking online. He's going to help us raise money for the next movie.
Yeah. And he's been the biggest asset.
You want me to pitch an idea for a movie that no one's going to listen to?
I'm going to listen to it.
Okay. So.
It keeps me asleep at my desk.
This is, if Ocho, you listen to this, tell me what you think. If you made it into minute 49.
Oh, we got to wrap this up.
Almost 49 of the movie. Okay. So I'm thinking, all right, this would be a vehicle for Ocho, right? It'd be about him. Okay. So I'm thinking of niches. Like, what are the different niches that we can fit?
Never mind. I already know where we're going with this.
Do you? Okay, so faith-based movie.
Ocho's Realm.
A revenge action film. Oh, is this interesting yet?
Okay, I'm interested. You've piqued me.
Okay, Western.
So you just took all three of Ocho's biggest.
Okay, so with that in mind, right? This is the movie opens up. We get our status quo stuff. He's like a, you know, small town little, you know, I don't know, faith leader. He's got a small ministry, a small little town, right? Okay. He's got his own little community thing. You know, he's got his family. Things are good. And then he sees someone from his past. And it's not good, right? It's not good.
All preachers have a dark past.
All preachers have a dark past. His family is killed, is murdered because
dead as a doornail.
He'd left that life. They found him,
and it's set in the Old West.
Maybe not Old West, but modern West, right?
Post-apocalyptic modern West.
Oh, I love post-apocalyptic. I love post-apocalyptic, but that's not what I had in mind. Anyway, so he's conflicted, right? Because he has committed to give that life up, right? He's moved on. He's found Jesus. He doesn't want to do that life, but he wants revenge. So I think it sets up for an interesting character. It's like John Wick about the dog, right? But like he's conflicted. He's got a certain set of skills, but he's conflicted because he doesn't want to actually kill, right? So I've got a couple ideas. Maybe his buddy friend is like there to do what he can't. Does that make sense? Right? Okay. So they go, they're going to try and find some way to get, of course, you know, police don't care, whatever, like what's happened. Not that they don't care about dead bodies. What's the dead body? No. But like they can't get the cartel, the whoever's actually responsible for it. But it's going to get to the moment at the end where Ocho's faced with the opportunity. Do I kill them? Do I not kill them? And he has to make the right choice, whatever that is.
Which is kill them.
Which murder is always the answer.
I know, Ocho. This is what he would do. I know.
Anyway, I think if it was written right and it was nuanced, it could be highly entertaining. You can have some fantastic action, right? Mm-hmm. And you've got an interesting story.
I bet we could get Danny Trejo to play his friend.
Trejo.
No, Danny Trejo could play the bad guy and I'll play his friend. I'll be the John
Wick.
Did you just
volunteer to act again?
Oh, wait, never mind.
I caught that.
I'll DP again.
Never mind, I won't do that.
But
like, you know, it's definitely like you can have that Western vibe, right? The small town in, I don't know, Arizona or whatever. You've got a faith-based story, which is what's motivating him. But it's a revenge movie, right?
He's never going to go for it.
They have killed his family.
Prepared to die.
He's out for blood, right? I give him a sword, maybe some tall boots. Maybe
some ridiculously tall boots, needlessly tall boots.
When
Why?
You hear tall boots, do you think Kevin Klein or do you think, I don't know, are we thinking Pirates of Penzance?
No. When I think tall boots, I think Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a post the other day, Cary Elwes.
Yeah.
Is that how you say his name?
Elwes, yeah.
Elwes. It was something along the lines. He was making a COVID joke, right? You know.
You can't do that. It's dangerous.
Well, he can.
Oh, he can?
He can. It was something along the lines of, you know, put on your mask or prepare to die. I don't know. Yeah. It was something along the lines that you would expect from
Masks
the Dread
trendy.
Pirate Roberts.
Right, right.
I'll most likely kill you in the morning. Put on your mask, Carlos. No, but it was funny because his picture was updated to have a mask on it. But it was Wesley.
Okay.
I thought that was funny.
That is great.
I did not tell that joke very well. I'll own it.
Poor delivery.
Anyway,
back to lighting.
Back to lighting. I don't know. We'd like the movie.
We need to wrap
Let's talk about The Revenant.
Ugh, I don't want to talk about The Revenant.
We're talking about lighting.
We don't have enough time.
No, we don't. You know how they lit The Revenant?
By waiting.
Really huge diffusion. Like,
and
we're talking
waiting.
About like 20 by 40 foot.
Yeah.
I don't know. Diffusion panels held up by a crane, but it's all natural lighting.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And I see the crane over there diffusing the sun.
Yeah.
So.
See, I think Jon Favreau has it right when he makes his like 3D National Geographic type stuff. He just diffuse.
Just
cheats.
It's off computer.
Clouds over there.
I love that in Lion King. They had one live action shot.
Yeah.
And it was the first shot of the movie.
Kruger Park. Look it up. Been there.
I haven't.
No big deal.
Probably never will.
No big deal.
Hey, Joseph, this was fun.
Yeah, it was okay.
Is this a good episode?
I don't know. Was it?
I don't know. If we ever listen to it, we'll have to find out. I mean, I'll mix the audio a bit, but yeah. You know, other than that,
yeah.
Hey, do you have anything to recommend or tell the good people to go do?
What am I doing right now? What's fun? Nothing.
Nothing.
What am I experimenting with right now? I'm experimenting. So for filmmakers out there, which is, you know, all of you, maybe, I don't know. I'm experimenting with handheld 60 frames per second. Lots of interesting stuff. Transitions with camera movements. I'm also building a lot of my own transitions, which is really, really hard. Way harder than I thought it would be. In some instances, it's easy, but sometimes I'm like, I hate this so much. But then I get some pretty good results, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's fine. But it's been a lot of fun. Honestly, I don't think it's a skill set that will transfer over into making films. But it's definitely going to be fun to experiment with in the YouTube realm. You know, because I've been watching a lot of stuff, and there's just so much. There's so many little nuanced things that people are doing now. You know, just basic. People that had basic channels before, I don't know if they've gone out and hired, you know, one of these YouTube cinematographer guys, but all of a sudden they've got like this really cool intro. Like Dan Bailey, he's had a channel for years, but all of a sudden he's got this really dope intro.
Oh, yeah.
And all of his camera work is really good and he's lit really well. And I'm like,
he just hired somebody.
I'm like, no, he did figure that out on his own. And he's obviously not shooting himself. I mean, somebody's doing it, you know, the shots are of him. And it's, you know, really good in sound design, and YouTube is a really good place to flex the muscles, to learn a lot of new things. And the more I, like, I'm moving into some product photography and doing a lot of stuff at work that is just promo videos, right? I'm trying to make hydraulics sexy, and they aren't, right? Like, how do you take the things that move the world and make them sexy? Like, cars are designed to be sexy. They are designed to be desired, right? Nobody builds an electric motor to look good. Nobody builds a hydraulic pump so that people go, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, but if you played Barry White in the background, a little bit of that 4K 60 you're talking about, I don't know.
So what I'm doing is I'm trying really hard to make it interesting, right? So I'm trying really hard to make it interesting, and you know, I'm experimenting with time lapses and hyperlapses, and you know, how do I tell stories around this and make this interesting? I don't think my boss appreciates any of it. But it's an interesting, I feel like I'm on the precipice of something, which I'm probably not. I'm probably just the only person out there trying to do this in this industry. You know, there are great photographers out there that shoot like equipment, right, for Caterpillar and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to take one picture at a mine site. That's probably never going to be me, but I've taken a lot of cues from photographers like that, and you know, there's obviously a very prevalent lighting style in today's photography. I'm trying to emulate that and learn it and understand it, and you know, trying to make hydraulics sexy. It's tough to do, but it's a fun challenge. So people, you know, go out and challenge yourself. That's I think that's where I was going with that.
I heard that you're bringing sexy back. That's what I heard, right?
It was gone, and I'm going to bring it back.
It was gone.
It was gone, and he will bring it back.
All right.
How about you? What's going on?
I've been trying to dig back into some of the small little quick and dirty videos that I make on my own.
Yeah.
You know, just the short, fast educational videos, you know, like, you know, I'm explaining this, I'm explaining that, but I'm trying to do it a higher production value, you know,
and it looks good.
And like I showed you that one shot.
Yeah.
You know what, I have a
I saw
4K,
some others too.
I saw 4K. I just got a 4K screen in my classroom. That's it's basically a smart board.
Mm-hmm.
A smart board. And I'm like, hey, and the Mandalorian, they had an LED background, and they made it work. So I started putting backgrounds behind me on the TV, and I just, you know, I cropped the camera just right, And I light myself in front of it, and that's been interesting, how to light me and not light the board. Mm-hmm. I got to be far enough away, but, you know, all the things.
Just make sure your frame rate's okay.
Right, right.
That's a tough thing to do with LEDs. That's right.
I had to change it, the shutter speed, to 80.
Yeah.
To get around that. Oh, man. Did I mess that up on the last video? I might have. Because I think I switched it back to get that flicker.
Most TVs vibrate at about 60 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, you know, there's a broad range, and 120 was really popular for a long time, or not for a long time, for a while, until people decided that it just looked way too unnatural. But yeah, everything's pretty much back down to 60. I remember because at the time, it was like you could buy a TV at like 60, 80, and 120.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the 60 going, that just looks more natural. I'm going to buy that one. And luckily, it was the cheaper one.
Yes.
But it's what manufacturers have gone back to, because a lot of people have gone, oh, no, this just, it's too sharp.
But yeah, you like know? I did have to adjust shutter speed, so it wasn't getting the weird vibrations on the TV. Yeah. I don't know. I've just been digging back into that, and I'm also catching up on movies that I haven't seen.
Oh, yeah. What have you been seeing?
Just saw Extraction, Netflix.
Okay.
Did
you like that?
I enjoyed it. Okay, I enjoyed it. Super simple story.
Did you see reviews for it before you saw it?
No.
Okay. Because I watched it and thought, I had some cool stuff, but I was kind of bored.
You know? Joe Russo wrote it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
The Russo brothers produced it.
That's what blew my mind. Because I saw that afterwards, I'm like, I should have liked that more, right?
And then it was...
The director was his first time, but
he was a stunt guy.
He was a stunt double for Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, that's who he was. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I mean, there were some amazing scenes. It's like, I'm supposed to think this is one shot. I know it's not one shot because you can't do that.
Yeah, very, very cool though.
You know, camera comes inside the car, spins around, does the things. It comes out of the car.
Yeah.
All while I was driving, no cuts.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. There was some really fun stuff.
It was a really fun sequence. That whole thing was really cool.
We had recorded, and I finally caught up on 12 Strong, which was also, I don't know, I guess we had a Chris Hemsworth thing going.
Are you watching these with your wife?
Yes. She was not interested in Extraction, though.
Oh.
Well, there's a lot of subtitles, and it was just a little bit harder to follow.
Yeah.
Is the Jamie Foxx, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Project Power.
Mm-hmm. I had heard about the making of this because Casey Neistat has a bit role in it.
Yeah, I was shocked to see him in it.
So, like, when he announced that it had come out, like, I knew I wanted to watch it. I thought that Project Power, what a dumb name. You know, like, it makes sense with the movie, but it's like, wow, maybe we could have thought for 5 more seconds and come up with something that didn't sound as generic as, like,
Project
Power.
It was marketed as Power. That's what it was marketed as. Apparently, it was a bidding war for the script.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was a fun movie, though.
I thought that was the weakest part of the movie.
There were some fun things in it. I enjoyed that. And me and my wife were finally watching Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, okay.
Again,
what season are you in?
We're in season one.
Okay.
I love me some post-apocalyptic.
Oh yeah.
I love
so much. That's a really good show. It's stupid good writing.
It's kind of It's, you know, I know I'm like, I don't know, years behind everyone, right? Mm-hmm. Which is fine.
I think it's make fun of me. Season 4 right now.
But I love it's awkward, 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 really funny moment. It's like, oh, I don't know how to respond.
Yeah.
But that was really funny. It's like, what just happened?
Yeah.
But I'm laughing on the inside.
No, that's it. That's...
That's...
Stupidly well-written show.
Yeah. No, it helps that I watch and I'm just like, oh, it's so beautiful.
Yeah. It is very pretty. And the thing is,
it's a movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie. Every episode is a movie.
It looks like when I saw the first episode, or when I saw the first like commercial for the first episode or whatever, I thought, huh, they forgot to grade that. Nope, that's what the show looks like.
I know I shouldn't bring this up, but I was watching the most recent Buttery Bros video.
Yeah.
There was a shot in the middle
they forgot to grade. Yeah.
It was like, oh, they missed one.
I see that every now and then. And not just with them, but a lot.
They missed one. Yeah, a lot. And it's like, I'm sure they know it, and they're like, I'm not gonna go back and fix it. Right? But it's all grayed out. It's like, yeah. Oh, I feel bad for them. They missed one. They had it in Premiere.
Yeah,
they had it in Premiere. They just forgot to
drop
it on one of them.
When you start to get 25, 30 minute episodes, you're not gonna go back and watch every single clip. And maybe
Tibbs?
Maybe Heber. No, I don't know if
he edits.
Does Heber edit? That's right.
Heber. I think he's the editor. He is the director, if you will. Yeah. What's Marston doing?
Marston's the star. He's the body.
He's the body. I love how every intro, he always falls.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to run up and they're like, what's up? But he's tripping and falling. And it's not just because he just had surgery, right? He's just always falling.
Yeah.
Worried about you, bro. All right. Yeah. I think we can call this one. What do you think?
Call it.
This was fun.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yep, that's dead. That episode's dead. We're just over an hour. Hey, it was fun talking to you, Joseph.
Yeah, buddy.
So, next week we talk. I don't know.
I still want to finish the lighting conversation. We dropped lighting like a half hour ago.
Is that when we talk about Revenant?
That's a whole episode in and of itself.
Oh, man. But hey, tell people how not to follow you.
You can't follow me. You can see our stuff at carpeandzen.com. Also on YouTube, Carpe and Zen. And, of course, Academy of Creators.
Yeah.
/ podcast. I don't know.
No, our podcast is hosted on Anchor.
Oh, that's right.
I'm thinking of starting a new one, which I should probably talk to you about. But I want to try Red Circle.
Red Circle.
It's a different hosting platform. I want to look at it.
Oh, okay. A new podcast platform, not another podcast. How many more podcasts are we going to have? Because I'm pretty sure it's just you and me recording ourselves, not having a conversation.
Well, it's probably a lot more interesting talking to you, but I don't know. Maybe I do this on my own. Just because too much of a time suck.
Oh, fine.
From your life. Like, I'm always with me, but I'm not always with you. So I can get you for an hour a week, but I don't know that I can get you longer than that. I don't know.
Sorry, I'll just tell my wife I have things to do.
I've got things to do. Jacob and I, we're gonna record another episode. Of what? I don't know. He's got a fifth podcast. He just wants to talk again.
It's not important.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Wrap it up. See you guys.
Bye.